The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is my announcement of two major professional slash life updates for the 2023-2024 academic year. And I'll preface this by saying that these updates are have been a long time in coming. Update one was more or less finalized in April. And update two was more or less finalized in July. And the reasons that I have, I've been meaning to make this update public for a very, very long time. And I've had various reasons, some legitimate, some not so legitimate, for delaying it. Now, I'm going to try to make this short, but I'm also going to try and make it complete, which means that it's not going to be short. So without further ado, update number one. I will be switching from full-time Rebbe and administrator at YBT to part-time Rebbe in order to explore and expand my own Torah content creation horizons. Okay, now you can tell I wrote that out because I wanted to make sure I got the formulation correct. So in order to understand this, we need some backdrop. So let's rewind to spring 2020, okay? A traumatic time period for all of us, I'm sure. April 1st, 2020 was when we found out that Shalhevet was going to permanently close. And for those who don't know, Shalhevet is the girls' school that I taught at for 10 years. It was my first full-time teaching job, and it was beloved to me. The students, the administration, my faculty, my principal, I loved that job. And that's really where I became a high school teacher. And I taught all of the Limud HaKodesh classes. I mean, I taught almost all of them, plus AP English language and composition and public speaking and study skills. And I taught almost every student who came through the school for its entire existence. And the average student who was at Shalhevet for 4 years, by the time they got to the end, I would have taught that student for anywhere between 7 to 10 courses. So it was a really special place in my heart. And I still am in touch with many of those students today. Okay, anyway, I'm not going to wax nostalgic about Shalhevet right now. So anyway, Shalhevet announced its closure in April. And mind you, this was the beginning of the pandemic. So we didn't know what the 2020-2021 school year was going to look like. And of course, most, if not all, of my fellow teachers immediately started applying for new jobs. I was not ready to apply to a new teaching job in a new school during a pandemic. I was not sure how long this was going to last, the pandemic, and those were just not the circumstances I wanted to be in. So after a few weeks, close to a month of agonizing decision-making, I made the leap of faith decision to attempt to pursue, to spend that year pursuing Torah content creation. Now, I did not know what that meant at the time. I had various ideas of doing freelance Torah content creation, of giving shiurim and writing articles and launching a YouTube channel, but I really did not know what I was going to be doing. So that was in April, okay? Soon after, we formed Lomdeha. Lomdeha was a one-year by design program that was for the students from Shalhevet who were going to be going into 12th grade. And if you just think about it, the 9th and 10th graders in Shalhevet, when Shalhevet closed, would transfer to other high schools. That made sense. The 12th graders were going to be graduating. 11th grade was the difficulty because what are they going to do? Apply to a new high school just for their 12th grade year in a pandemic? No one really wants to do that. So what ended up happening is that entire 11th going into 12th grade decided to finish out the credits that they would need to graduate according to the New York State requirements. So they all graduated from high school officially by the end of their 11th grade year. And half of them started college and the other half wanted to continue their learning. They weren't ready. Either they weren't ready to start college yet or they wanted the 12th grade Shalhevet Limud HaKodesh teacher experience. So one of my friends who is also the parent of one of my students who was also a fellow teacher started this one-year program called Lomdeha. where it was a transitional, it was basically a base midrash, a women's base midrash program. I believe there were 8 girls, if I remember correctly. And these are all students who I taught before for many years. And that was one plan. And I was hired to teach there. And I taught, it's funny, I'm sure you all experienced this as well. A lot of hazy memories from that that part of the pandemic. I think I was teaching 10 periods for Lomdeha, maybe 9, maybe 11. I can't really remember. So I breathed a sigh of relief and thought to myself, okay, that is that's at least one part-time job that I'm going to have, and that'll form a baseline for my income, and then I can make this other stuff work. Okay, then fast forward to the summer of 2020. I was approached by my yeshiva, by YBT, and the we decided, and I'm saying we just collectively, decided to launch a new program, to really reformat, experiment with a new format for YBT. And, YBT had been around for 50 years at the time. I think that was our 50th anniversary. And again, we were going to the pandemic. We didn't know what was going to happen. We knew that there were a lot of students who had planned to go to Israel for a yeshiva, and either those plans were in jeopardy, or never really like got off the ground. So the plan, I was brought on board in YBT in two capacities. One was as an administrator, and my title was Director of Student Learning. And it's hard to describe what that role was. It was partially I was in charge of handling admissions and interviews and setting up the schedule, of course, with the Rosh HaYeshiva's ultimate say and guidance. So that was partially what it was. It was quasi Mashgiach Ruchani. Now we have a Mashgiach Ruchani, but basically what I said when I was hired is I said, I will devote my full time attention and energy to helping talk with students and helping them with anything they need for their learning life. Okay, I don't want to be involved in the dorm, but for their learning life. And as you can imagine, in yeshiva, learning life involves lots and lots of things, so we're talking about relationship with learning, certain college yeshiva decisions, and life balance decisions, and all of the intellectual and emotional issues that come up that are involved in the quality of one's learning. So that's what I mean by quasi Mashgiach Ruchani position. And I was also, so that was one part of my administrative role. And also just to be there as a support for the guys, kind of like a guidance counselor might be the closest analog in terms of the high school world. And then the other role was full-time Rebbe. The new program that we launched in 2020, the reformatted program we launched was, we basically wanted to have shiurim going on at all times that students could zoom in for. Because again, this is a pandemic. Some students who had planned to go to either our yeshiva or to Israel found themselves just stuck at home, and many of them were going to be enrolled in remote college classes, which have a wide ranging variety of scheduling, conflicts. So we basically wanted to create a program where we have shiurim going all the time and you can zoom in. That was the model for 2020 to 2021. And I got that job, and I now had more than full-time teaching position, because it was full-time at YBT plus the part-time at Lomdeha. That year, 2020 to 2021, was a great year, but I definitely burnt out. I was teaching 30 hours per week. Now, that's actual teaching hours, not including the massive amounts of preparation that I had to do, because as you can imagine, this is my first time giving shiur in YBT, teaching post-high school level. And so it's a different level of involvement. So it was 30 hours per week of teaching, plus all the preparation, plus all of the incalculable hours spent doing the director of student learning role, and all of the stresses of the pandemic. It was a very tough year. I grew a lot as a person and as a teacher, but it was very difficult. And I was teaching at the time approximately, depending on the week, 15 hours at YBT and then 15 hours at Lomdeha plus other stuff that I was doing. That was like, for example, when I launched the Stoic Jew podcast and for some insane reason made an episode every day. Okay, I don't know how I did that. I still look back and just I can't believe that I pushed myself that much, but I found my breaking point in terms of taking on stuff. Okay, so that was 2020 to 2021. Okay, so the important takeaway there is 15 hours of YBT. Okay, now get to the beginning of the 2021 to 2022 academic year. Pandemic is, for all intents and purposes, over. Okay, at least in terms of you know, our fear that we would be remote forever. Okay, and the Yeshiva began scaling back to its original program, not with this Zoom shiurim at all times. And then in the 2022 to 2023 academic year, the yeshiva scaled back even more to its original program, which was specifically not having shiurim at all times, but putting a lot of emphasis on independent and chavrusa learning for the guys. And basically what happened was I found myself going from a position of teaching 15 hours a day at YBT plus the 15 hours of non-YBT stuff to teaching between 4 and 5 hours at YBT and giving a bunch of my own shiurim, also 4 to 5 hours each week minimum of my own shiurim. You know, I was giving my Monday night Mishle shiur, which is my own thing, not part of YBT, my Thursday night Pirkei Avos shiur for women, which is also my own thing, not part of YBT. And then my Friday morning Machshava Lab shiur for women, also not part of YBT, plus doing my other content creation. And, you know, by this time I had launched my, in 2020 and 2021, I had launched my YouTube channel and my 5 podcasts, the Stoic Jew podcast, the Mishle podcast, Ron Pius podcast, Tefillah podcast, and Machshava Lab podcast. So I was really doing more stuff on my own than stuff for YBT. And I still had the administrative duties, which I enjoy, just to get that out of the way. I enjoy being there for the guys and fulfilling that role, but it was time and energy consuming. So now we're up to almost the present. So spring 2019, sorry, not 2019. That is a funny slip. Spring 2019 was like the last normal time in high school. Anyway, spring 2023, that's a really funny slip. Spring 2023, I was thinking about what I wanted my next academic year to be like. And I realized, you know, there were a bunch of Torah content projects that I had wanted to do that I had planned to do during that first year of the pandemic. But thank God I got the job at Lomdeha and YBT and kind of, put those projects on hold. So again, I had wanted to make specific YouTube content, videos, not just using YouTube as a place to post my recorded shiurim. I had wanted to write a book on Mishle. I had wanted to give other shiurim in a freelance capacity. So there are many creative projects that I had wanted to do. There's other stuff that I haven't even started doing yet. Like, you know, for a very, very long time, decades, the Rebbeim at YBT catered to the B'nai Noach community, the Noahide community. And there are, you know, hundreds of shiurim that my Rebbeim have given to the B'nai Noach. And I'm not exactly sure why, but that kind of stopped or really trickled out. And I wanted to offer my services to the B'nai Noach community. Another underserved population is people who are in the conversion process, who have a halachic mentor, the shul, the rav of their shul, but don't really have anyone to learn with. And they desperately want to learn and to, so to speak, catch up or just pursue Torah learning lishma, but they don't really fit into any category. And I feel like I'm uniquely poised to learn with those people. So I wanted to serve that community. My tutoring work that I had been doing before the pandemic and then during the pandemic, the way I had planned to make my income was offering one-on-one. I don't like to call it tutoring because we're not talking here about, remedial education. We're talking about really, two basic populations: parents who don't have their kids enrolled in a Jewish day school, but want high quality, individualized learning for their kid. And usually these are kids who are, you know, gifted. I don't know what you want to call them, but, you know, not just your average Joe. That's just typically the clientele that I've had. And then the other category is parents who have kids that are in the Jewish day school system, but have questions or problems with Judaism that are not being answered. So those have been historically, since, I don't know, 2010, the students who I have done one-on-one teaching or learning with. And during the pandemic, I when Zoom became a thing, I thought to myself, okay, I have, you know, the whole world at my disposal in terms of anyone who fits into one of those two categories or more. I can learn with and do that tutoring to supplement my income. So anyway, that was the plan then, and I have a couple of clients that I've been learning with for the last several years. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. I got interrupted. So where are we now? Okay. So I made this decision in spring of 2023 that I wanted to scale back my involvement at YBT, to step back from the administrative role and to, you know, my sheer schedule had already been pared down, and, you know, what used to be, again, just to compare this, I used to be giving a shiur in the afternoon every day and being there for the guys in afternoon Seder, and then giving a shiur every night, sometimes two shiurim a night. That was, you know, in the original plan. And then that was scaled back to just giving one shiur a night and also giving a shiur every morning. So this has been scaled back. And I found myself in YBT just not fulfilled as a teacher. I mean, I loved teaching what I was teaching, which was essentially Mishle and Tehillim/Tefillah. But, you know, the rest of the time I was learning B'chavrusa and just there in the base midrash. And I know that there are some people who want the hashtag Kolel life, but that's just not for me. Not the Kolel life of just, you know, learning in the base midrash. I want to be teaching. I am a teacher at heart. So that was when I made the decision to scale back to part-time YBT. So this coming year, I will not be formally in my administrative role. I still will be there for the guys who, want advice on these learning related issues. And I will just be teaching the shiurim that I have been teaching, I will just be teaching the shiurim which I value most, which is the morning Mishle shiur, which is going to be 2 days a week plus the third day of Q&A. And then the once a week at night, tefillah/tehillim shiur. Those will be the only things I'll be doing in YBT. So scaling back part-time there. And then what this will allow me to do now is to have the entire afternoon and many evenings to branch out and do those creative things that I wanted to do before. So, you know, I will continue, you know, God willing, giving my free shiurim, my Monday night Mishle shiur, my Thursday night Pirkei Avos shiur for women, and then my Friday morning Machshava Lab shiur for women. And I'll have the afternoon as well. And I have lots of plans. The main overarching year project that I want to take up is I want to write the book on Mishle that Rabbi Moskowitz and I started writing. We didn't actually, you know, put pen to paper, but for many summers learned in preparation for writing this book on Mishle. Now, I don't know what form the book is going to take. I'm not going to speculate about that now, but that is the, that's the overarching plan. And then I have other stuff I wanted to do as well. So this now brings us to summer 2023. Okay. And this is going to partially explain why I did not announce this. This is going to partially explain why I didn't want to announce this. So let me talk about the sources of income, right? So I don't know what the situation is from YBT. Again, I'm going to part-time. My understanding is that I will still be paid a salary, but obviously it's not going to be a full-time Rebbe administrator salary, and I don't know what that's going to be. So my plan is to supplement whatever I need. Supplement whatever I need from tutoring and one-on-one learning, probably take on more clients. I haven't really established that yet because of my second update, all right? Another, so salary from YBT, and update two, tutoring, and then Patreon, which has been a bedrock of support from people who are, commit to monthly contributions to the Rabbi Schneur Store Content Fund through Patreon. Sponsorships, which are not regular, but are very meaningful and really make a big difference. Substack, which I, as many of you know, I launched the paid Substack subscription tier for people either who want access to the paid content, which I plan to write about, to write a lot this year, or just people who want to support me in a way that is directly tied to my writing specifically, and to get something in return. And then the sixth thing is other freelance opportunities. Okay, for example, I was brought out as a scholar in residence to Richmond, Virginia at the beginning of the summer. And that was great. And I met this wonderful community at Richmond and gave a bunch of shiurim. And I plan on doing that again. And opportunities like that. And then also other freelance opportunities of teaching, giving other shiurim. Teacher mentoring is something that I used to do at Shall Have It, mentoring new teachers. So I haven't advertised this yet, but my services are available, assuming that it fits with my schedule, to go out and observe new teachers in their classrooms and offer feedback and be available for them for mentoring. So these are the sources of income that I intend to rely upon to make my living. Okay, now, why did I delay announcing this? So part of it was because, let's just be honest, it's a little uncomfortable, partially because it involves money, but partially because of imposter syndrome, which is always rears its ugly head. It's uncomfortable to tell my, the people who read and listen to and watch my Torah content that, hey, like I am not just gaining from the contributions you've made, but I'm now going to be largely dependent on you for my livelihood. And I've always said this at the end of my, of many of my podcasts that like, really it is, it's the support of all of you that makes this possible. But, I in my mind, it's different when I had this full-time position and this extra support was necessary, but wasn't like paying my rent, like my rent was taken care of. And this was, the support that people gave through these other means was definitely, I would still call it essential, but not like the bare necessities. So it's uncomfortable to talk about that or to say things like, I know that there are people on Patreon or through other means who I listen to my content, read my articles, attend my shiurim, who will give $3 per month. Okay. And, I think it's easy for a person to look at that and say like, oh, that's nothing. Especially when Patreon reduces it to like whatever they give me, like $1.30 from that. But like, it means a lot to me that like, if someone listens to my content or reads my stuff, every week or multiple times a week or attends my shiurim, and they think that that is, and I don't know anyone's financial situation, but they say, look, hey, I'm going to give you $12 this year. To me, that means a lot, not only does it like add up if everyone is doing that, if everyone who listens to my shiurim and reads my articles, gave $3 a month, that would be game changing, but it also is a reminder. It helps me combat the imposter syndrome by showing that people are willing to literally support what I do, it's funny. I'm sure there are several professions like this, but like, and look, I know that there's halakhic issues, with this also, but like teaching is one of those, the only things, especially teaching Torah is one of those things that like, people just expect you to do your job for free. But no one goes to a lawyer and says, hey, could you like, be my lawyer for free, So like, it's, I don't know. It's just, I get very, it's very awkward for me to ask people to support me in this way, even though people do want to support me. So I had been planning this like grandiose announcement where I give this announcement at the beginning of the summer, but then I felt like I had to, to frame it just right. And then I just pushed it off. And then also like, there are a bunch of other things that I wanted to like make more detailed plans before actually, announcing this. But so what happened was at the beginning of the summer, I planned to buckle down and essentially do two things. One was, or I guess three things. One was to focus heavily on Instagram. Instagram was something I was dabbling in at the end of the spring, and not as a way to generate income, but as a way to promote my content in general, to get people to find my Substack and find my Sharing, et cetera, et cetera. That was one thing. The other thing was to map out what the year is going to look like and start getting tutoring clients and get that underway. And then the other thing was to plan my book. But what I ended up doing this summer, and I made this as a specific decision in the very beginning, in the middle of June, when I first got back to Seattle, was, as much as Instagram might be good, I'm really... at heart, two things. I'm a teacher and I'm a writer. And, I've been blogging since 2007. I launched the Substack this year. I decided to try to just focus on the Substack and to also just get back in touch with my authentic writer's voice and to write more freely than I have found myself writing lately, to write about whatever I want to write about, which is what I used to do every summer. But I want to continue that throughout the year. So I decided over the summer to just focus on Substack, and I launched the paid subscription model, which I'm very excited about, especially for this year. It's been going well so far, and okay, so that's the end of the first update. Wow. I said this is going to be short. It's not short. Okay, so that was update number one. Now, this takes us through June 2023. Okay, but then here comes update number two, and the headliner is that I will be returning to the high school classroom, sort of. Okay, so let me explain what this is. So, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to not mention any specific names of individuals or institutions, just as a precaution to keep, just so I can say that I have not mentioned any individuals or institutions by name, other than YPT, obviously, but on this, on my social media or on my podcast. So, at the end of June, then my former Shall Have It principal, who I worked with for 10 years at Shall Have It, reached out to me. We set up a phone conversation, and she really knows how to pitch it to me. The one sentence pitch was, "I will give you however many periods you want to teach whatever you want remotely." Now, I had not been planning to go back to the high school classroom. I love teaching high schoolers. I want to return there eventually, but I had not been planning to go back this soon. This was going to be the year of independent tour content production and see if that works out and see where that takes me. So I had not been planning to go back to the classroom, but two factors, were on my mind. One, obviously, is having a stable salary is helpful for living and eating and sleeping in a bed. But also, I love teaching post-high school students, men and women, but there's something that is, I chose to be a high school teacher because that is a unique stage of development in the human being. And I really miss that. So here then is this offer from someone who I respect and who respects me and who I love working with and who loves working with me, offering me a job to teach literally whatever I want remotely. Okay. And again, I'm not going to give any specific details, but she just became the principal at a the head of school of a K-12 school and the principal of that high school. In a, let's just call it a small Jewish academy in New England, okay? And when I say small, I mean that the high school has approximately 40 students. And compare that to Shall Have It, which at any given year had between, let's say, 70 and 100 students. So we're talking like half the size of Shall Have It. And it is a community school, Orthodox, but caters to the entire community. And yeah, and so she said, you can teach whatever you want. You could teach Mishle, you could teach Tefillah, you could teach Tehillim, you could teach Pirkei Avos, Hashkafa, whatever you want. So, you know, I said to her that I will think about this, but and I over the next less than a week, I talked it over with some with the people who I'm close to in my life, and you know the what they said was that other than the fact that it's remote, it doesn't really seem like there's a downside to this. Okay, but the way that I really knew that this was the right decision was anytime I spoke about the decision or even thought about the decision, I grinned from ear to ear. I was so excited for this opportunity. And that's how you know, as I don't know where the phrase comes from, that Tim Ferriss has this phrase, when you're, given a decision and you say a full-bodied yes. That's really how I felt about this this position. And so I took it. For the upcoming 2023 to 2024 academic year, I will be teaching two courses. So 8 periods total, 4 periods each. And the title of the class was not designed by the principal. It was a pre-existing slot in the schedule called Jewish Medley. I'm going to try to switch it to Jewish Ethics, but Jewish Medley, and it is exactly what it sounds like, is Jewish Limudei Kodesh Torah stuff that doesn't fit into any of the traditional categories of Chumash, Navi, Gemara, Halacha, etc. And that's what I'll be teaching. And look, you know, because I have these other aspirations for and plans for this year, and because I have my shiurim in yeshiva and my own shiurim, I was able to state what my hours would be. And I said I can teach in the morning between 9:30 and 12:30, you know, which is basically, I didn't want to give up my morning Mishle shiur, excuse me, which ends at 9:15. I didn't want to go into the afternoon because that's when I'm going to be writing and doing my tutoring. And this is the perfect time slot because if you think about it, you know, with my, you know, my main supplemental income is going to be one-on-one tutoring or teaching, learning. And, you know, given the populations that I mentioned of like mostly high school kids, you know, the morning is the worst time because, you know, the kids who are in Jewish day schools, or in other, I guess, public schools, you know, are going to be in classes in the morning. So I can't teach them then. And then if I'm talking about the West Coast, I mean, the West Coast, it's too early on the West Coast in the morning. So this is time that I would not ordinarily have been able to work. And now I'll be working during that time. But it gets better, which is that it's not going to be entirely remote. It's funny, I decided this, but then my principal also decided this, that once a month I will travel in to the school's location, which is about a 3-hour drive from here, a little bit more than 3 hours, between 3 and 4, and teach in person for a couple days. So yesterday, the reason why I'm making this update now, other than the fact that I've procrastinated for too long, is that I signed the contract yesterday, and I am now an employee at that school, and we had our first faculty meeting yesterday, which was super exciting. I got to meet my coworkers who I really won't see in person that much, but that was the first faculty meeting, and then next week is the first week of school where I will be there in person and get to meet all the students and teach in person for a couple of days, and then switch to remote and hopefully go in person at least once a month. And I will also get to do my teacher mentoring there, just like I did in She'll Have It. I don't know if you could hear it in my voice, but I'm very excited. It's very interesting because for me, at least, because that's funny. As I drove there, when was this? On Monday, for Tuesday's faculty meeting, ordinarily I would have taken Rockaway Turnpike, but there was an accident, and so I got rerouted, and the Google Maps rerouted me and took me past Shell Havet. Okay, so I had not driven to Shell Havet since its closure. I think last time was probably in April 2020 when I had to pick up my stuff when the school closed. And so this is the first time I've driven there since 2020. And as I drove to Shell Havet, I had flashbacks to 2010, which is when I drove to Shell Havet for the first time and had this first teaching job, first time working with this principal. And it was also, she got hired at the same time, as I did. So we were both brought on board to Shell Havet at the same time, and both had a hand in forming its unique culture. So as I drove back and had these flashbacks, to 13 years ago, it hit me just how much more equipped I am than I was then. I have developed so much as a teacher, as a Jew, as a human being, and I am so much more capable than I was back then. And not only am I capable as a high school teacher, but these last 3 years have really been the catalyst for greater growth as a teacher, because this is the these last 3 years have been the first time that I've taught post high school and really spread my wings, taught my own stuff. And it's a combination of like the skills and content that I've gained from teaching at this higher level. But the other thing also really is I really, even though imposter syndrome comes up, I at the end of but in 2020, I had confidence as a high school teacher. I think I started to get my confidence as a high school teacher in like 2013, 2014. But certainly by 2020, I felt like I really knew what I'm doing, and I'm a good high school teacher. But I had a lot of insecurities about teaching at post high school yeshiva, and certainly teaching the community, my yeshiva community, which has high standards. And I think one of the things I gained over these last 3 years was confidence that I do have something to offer beyond high school. And it's really come from two sources. Well, three sources. One is from actually the day-to-day teaching of post-high school students. The second is from making all of my shiurim available publicly. That was a big deal. I mean, how many high school teachers teach in the privacy of their own classroom and they have the feedback from their students and from their administration, but they really don't have the they're not subjecting themselves to feedback like that. The fact that I've made my shiurim available to everybody really has done wonders for my confidence, because I see that people respond to it and that I do have something to offer. And the third thing really is the YBT Sunday shiur, which is the shiur for the community, which is attended by many members of the community. Again, lots of chachamim, and at the top of that chachamim pyramid is my own rebbeim and colleagues. And the fact that people have responded well to those shiurim really shows me, hey, maybe I'm more than just a high school teacher. Maybe I actually am a Torah teacher, period. Who happens to love teaching high school. So it's really exciting for me to go back to the high school classroom with all of that confidence and those skills. And this is the first totally new job that I've gotten since the initial job at Shell Havet, because like I mentioned, I was at Shell Havet for 10 years, then I had YBT, which it was a new job but a familiar community, and then Lomdeha, which was also a new job but familiar students and colleagues. So this is really the first time I've gotten a new job since my first job at Shell Havet. And it felt, as I went to the faculty meeting, yeah, there's some like first day of school nerves, or I guess first day of faculty meeting nerves, but I was so comfortable and confident. And the fact that I'm working for someone who I know I will enjoy working with and who really does value what I have to offer feels so good, and so I am super, super excited about this year. There's still a lot of unknowns. The thing I guess I'm most nervous about is what will it be like to teach new high schoolers remotely. The only remote experience I've had, two types of remote teaching experience. The first was in spring 2020, when we all went remote. I was teaching all of my Shell Havet students, but none of us knew what we were doing, and it was a pandemic. No one had taught Zoom classes before, so that was not a good that's not a good measure of experience. And the other experience I've had is teaching all these remote Shirim to post-high school students, which is obviously not the same thing as teaching high school students who I don't know. So this will be the first time I'm teaching high school students who I don't know. It will help that I'm going to be meeting them and spending a couple of days with them in person during the first week of school. So I solidify my I solidify my identity as a solid human being, three-dimensional, not just a face on a screen. But yeah, that's going to take some getting used to. But you know, I'm excited. You know, part of what I really enjoyed about teaching in high school, which I did not get in the last 2 years, really, is problem solving. I love the problem solving dimension of, okay, we have these limited constraints in this particular class, either because of the students or the classroom or the time or whatever, and I have to solve it. I have to make this work the best that it can. There's an excitement about that, and so this is a problem that I get to solve, which is I'm teaching remotely, and I have to make the best educational experience I can for these students and connect to them personally. That's really my strength as a teacher, is the excitement that I radiate and the personal connection that I have and develop with each student. I'm gonna have to find ways to do that that are remote. So I'm excited about that. And I keep on thinking, you know, especially when I was making the decision, what's the worst thing that can happen? So the worst thing that can happen is it's a bad experience teaching. Now I've had, anyone who's been teaching has had bad classes before. And you know, every year that I taught high school, there was always this is the worst class that I'm teaching. And it could be worse because of the behavior of the kids. It could be worse because of the subject, the time, whatever it is. But you know, this is the worst thing. And in the beginning of my teaching career, I used to really dread those. But as I became more mature as a teacher, I embraced those because those are the challenges that force me to grow as a teacher. So whenever I formulated what's the worst that can happen this year, the worst that can happen is I am forced to grow as a teacher. And that's great. That's a great worst case scenario. So I'm super excited. Yesterday was the first faculty meeting. Today is the second, which I have to actually end this now. This is a long update, but I felt like I owe it to all of you who follow my content, or just, you know, friends who even friends and colleagues and, you know, acquaintances who don't follow my content, but just want to know what's going on. This is what's going on. And as you can see, this is 42 minutes right now. It's a lot easier for me to make this recording and then distribute it through my channels, so at least most people will hear it, rather than saying it over every time I meet anyone again. So yeah, that is the year. And I guess I'll conclude. I know there's going to be an outro, but I will conclude by saying that the future is uncertain, you know, and I am obviously not making as much of a salary from this, you know, these 8 periods a week at this part-time job as I was making before, certainly at Shahabit, but you know, even at YBT. So again, if you value my Torah content, whether that be the Substack, the articles that you read, whether it be the YouTube videos, any of the 5 podcasts, the shiurim that I give for free, or even just, you know, if you're the type of person who asks me questions and I answer them, if you value that, I obviously, you know, no obligation, but if you do value it and you want to support me in producing this Torah content, then your options are either become a patron on my Patreon at it's patreon.com/RabbiShneWeiss. I forgot that momentarily. Still a little jet lagged. That is the way to support me on a regular basis, Lishma. Another option is to subscribe to my Substack at RabbiShneWeiss.substack.com. Even being a free subscriber is good. Another way for me to reach people with my Torah content. But if you want to become a paid subscriber and get access to the articles and parts of the articles behind the paywall and just support my writing specifically, it's $10 per month, or you can get a deal of $100 for the year, or you can become a founding member, which is $250 a year or more. There are plenty of people who have supported me that way, and I'm grateful for that. And then there's the sponsorships. And if you want to sponsor me, just reach out to me, either rubbishnamewas@gmail.com or you have my WhatsApp, and make a contribution, and I'll give you a dedication message slot that you can use, or plug your business. I'm trusting Hashem. I also conclude with this idea. I mean, when I made the decision to scale back from YBT, then I began davening for, my tefillah has taken many different forms, but I think the favorite one is I've asked Hashem to enable me to serve him through my teaching and learning in whatever capacity he sees fit. And so I've been really keeping an openness to new opportunities, and that's what in part what helped me to seize this new teaching opportunity when it came by. But I would like to remain open to the opportunity. So if you have any ideas, any tutoring clientele that people who are interested in doing one-on-one learning or sheer opportunities or teacher mentoring opportunities, feel free to send them my way. I don't know what my schedule is going to look like yet this year, but we'll cross those bridges when we come to them. And look, if you can't, if you do value my content but can't afford to, the $3 per month, then, even just sharing my articles with people who you think would like them or liking them just to let me know, or sending me like an occasional text or email if you like a particular shiur, there are ways to support, not that are don't involve dollar signs, and those mean a lot to me as well, because like I said, imposter syndrome is an ugly phenomenon, and I struggle with it constantly. Okay, that is the end of the update. I hope I didn't forget anything. I'm sure I will realize I forgot something, but that is it for today. And thank you to all of my my readers, my viewers, my listeners, my friends, my rabbim, my colleagues, my acquaintances. It really means a lot to me that you value what I do and that you support me in whatever way that you can. So thank you so much. And here's to a year of learning and teaching and writing and enjoyment. Okay.